Have you ever been in a situation where you needed something, but you didn't have any way to pay for it? I think we all have, unless you're Elon Musk. You're faced with what seems to be an insurmountable problem. And if you're like me, you feel helpless, panicking, caught up in a never-ending cycle of worry. You think, what am I going to do? I need this, but I don't have the money to pay for it. I need it, but I can't pay for it. How am I going to do this? What am I going to do? And you just go round and round and round as your mind spins around the problem. You're looking for a solution and answer, but there doesn't seem to be any answer. And you think of a way that to solve it, but there's no solution possible. If you're like me, after you've exhausted all your your attempts to come up with an answer, you cry out to God. You don't see how he can work things out. I mean, you've already exhausted all the possibilities. But you don't have any other option. So you call out to God, asking him to come through. This thing's sliding down. More of the comic relief. But as I said, you're desperate. You know there's nothing else you can do. And so you finally look to God. Been there, done that? And that's been my situation many times in my life. But there's a couple of fairly vivid examples that come to my mind that I'd like to share with you. Early in our marriage, we were very limited in our income. I had a state job with benefits, but the pay wasn't that much. And we squeezed every penny that we could to the extent that I reused tea bags for my tea. Now, we had a used station wagon, and one day when Gretchen was coming out of an alleyway, a truck coming down the street smashed into her and snapping the wheel, smashing the fender. Thankfully, Gretchen wasn't hurt. And while the insurance paid for the tow, to tow it to the repair shop, it wouldn't pay for any of the cost of the repairs, which was a whopping $225, which today sounds like a rather paltry amount, but back in 1979, that was a week's pay. pretty much were living paycheck to paycheck, didn't have savings or anything. Both my mother and Gretchen's mother were widows, so we really didn't know how we were going to take care of this. I lived close enough to the office where I could walk to work, but we really needed a car. And I was at my wit's end, and there was nothing else to do but to cry out to God. I'd like you to turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Philippians 4, verse 19. Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. That's a nice verse to read for someone else and to quote to them, but when you need it, this is a life ring that's thrown to you when you're drowning. My God shall supply all your needs. God, I need you. I don't have anywhere else to go. Help. There was a man in our church who had an auction business and a farm. A couple times, his name is Roy, and a couple times Roy had let me do some odd jobs to make some few extra dollars. The Lord led Roy to give us some money to repair the car up front, allowing me to work for him for the next several months on Saturdays to pay it off. God supplied our need. In the Gospels, Jesus had to pay a tax. Don't we all? I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 17, verses 24 to 27. Matthew 17, verse 24. Matthew 17, starting with verse 24. After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma tax came to Peter and asked, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes, he does," he replied, which is interesting because as we read, he hasn't yet. But Peter says, "Oh, yeah, he definitely does." Okay. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. "What do you think, Simon?" he said. "From who do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own sons or from others?" "From others," Peter answered. "Then the sons are exempt," Jesus said to him. "But so that we may not offend them, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4 drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours." How many of you here go fishing? How many times have you caught a fish with money in it? So, obviously this was a miracle. So, why didn't God tell me to go fishing to get a coin to pay for the cost of repairing my car? True, we don't have any $250 coins now, but, you know, he could have, you know, put in a 1909 SVBD penny or one of the other rare coins that would pay for it. But no, rather than an extraordinary miracle, God arranged to meet my need through what seems to be a very ordinary way. And quite frankly, my skeptical friends would say it had nothing to do with God, but just a generous friend. Not long after this, we went through a series of layoffs and job transfers for myself, resulting from us having to move several times. After about 6 years, we were somewhat better off, but not a lot. But we moved again to a new city to accept a job promotion, despite the risk of another layoff. And in fact, there was another layoff. But because my new position was not affected by the layoffs, I was okay. Whereas if I stayed where I had been, in this safe spot, I would have been affected. God protected us. Now I was classified as a trainee on this new job, so even though it was a promotion, I was at the same rate of pay. But the Lord had blessed us enough to enable us to buy a house, which pretty much drained all of our savings and put us quite a bit in debt. And shortly after we moved into the house, we discovered that the roof was leaking and needed to be replaced. and oh me of little faith, despite all the times that Jesus had supplied all of our needs previously, I began again desperately to try to figure out how we were going to pay for this roof. And in that way, I guess I'm like the disciples who were worried about having enough bread to eat, even though Jesus had already fed the 5,000 and the 4,000 with just a couple fish and some loaves of bread. But once again, after exhausting myself, frantically trying to come up and solve the problem, I cried out to God, and God supplied our need. He answered it by having the members of the new church we had just started to attend coming out and helping us. They came, they removed and hauled away the old roof and replaced it with the shingles that we were able to afford. God met our need in His way. No miracle, but a way that enabled us to tell others about how God had met our need. God supplies all our needs all the time, and not just financially. So often, we take all His supplies for granted. Right now, He's supplying me with my need to breathe, to have oxygen, to have life itself. He supplied my need to have something to share with you. But in many ways, God uses His body, the church, to meet the needs of His body. We see this in the natural as well as in the spiritual. My hands feed my mouth, while my mouth and throat deliver the food to the stomach. Some of us, like Travis and Dennis, use their hands and minds to repair heavy equipment and restore cars. Brandon uses his mind and mouth to preach to us. Some, like Donna and Hannah, use their minds and math skills to earn income. Our bodies enable us to meet our needs. And the body of Christ is the same. Paul in Corinthians and Romans writes about how God has gifted different members of the body, His body, that's you and me, to provide for the rest of the body. Now we're all different. We're not all the mouth, we're not all the hands, we're not all the feet. But Paul reminds us that just as every part of our physical body is important, the same is true of His body. He places each of us in His body to do His will in meeting the needs of His body. We do that in a variety of ways. Tracy back there in the sound booth, young Jesse playing the bass, Ernestine teaching the children Wednesday night, Bob giving the communion devotions, French taking care of the counting the offering, Steve and Tracy taking care of the hot water heaters and the filters and other things around the building. That's just to name a few. We each have our part to play. Agnes's singing is just as important as Jesse's playing the keyboard. I made the mistake of saying organ. Gretchen corrected me that it's the keyboard and not the organ. But so much for my understanding. God brings all the parts together to make a complete body. Each one of us is important in accomplishing God's will. Each one of us is important in accomplishing God's will. I have fond memories growing up. There was a church member who drove me to vacation Bible school throughout the week or 2 weeks it was at. He also drove me to Christian camp when I was a boy. Things like that, service. Members of the body of Christ meeting the needs of other members of Christ's body. 1 Peter 4:10. First Peter 4:10. Peter says, each one should use whatever gift he has or she has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. But Christ's body is not limited to the members of New Life Church. Jesus calls us to be His hands and feet serving others. Sometimes, in meeting their needs, sometimes that's serving others, like John helping his neighbor take down the tree in their yard, Well, other times it might be, you know, sending money to the Haitian mission. There's an infinite number of ways we can serve God. Like you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Second Corinthians 9, starting with verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. No, I'm not going to take up a collection. And although Paul here is referring to the Corinthians giving money to support Paul, I believe the same truth applies to acts of service as well. And Gretchen and I have seen this many times in our lives, where we have helped and served others, and only later to be helped and served by other members of the body of Christ. For instance, helping someone else move, and then later others helping us when we were moving. In different seasons of our lives, we have different roles to play. While early in our marriage, we oftentimes were in a on the receiving end of God's grace. Now in later years, we're in a position to bless others. God blessed us to receive, and he blesses us to be able to give. Both giving and receiving are from God. We need him, but we also need one another. And as I mentioned, we can serve and bless others by what we do, even if we don't have money to give. I want to reread verse 8 there. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. I would say this is an all-inclusive verse. God supplies all of our needs, and that includes our need to bless others for their needs to be met. Giving and receiving, receiving and giving. All I have is from God, including my needs. He puts needs in our life, the wrecked car, the leaking roof, so he could be glorified as the body of Christ reached out to meet our needs. And also to remind me that I need God every second of every day. It's easy for me to forget that until he makes me face problems that I can't manage on my own. Sorry. Today, God blesses us to enable us to be the one reaching out to help others. In giving and receiving, God is at work and his will is being done. There are verses 12 and 13. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. The last verse in there, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Whether you're on the receiving end, and each of us had both roles to play throughout our lives, do all for the glory of God, the building up of his body, the church, and to please God, whose indescribable gift to us is the life, death, and resurrection of his son Jesus. And we're to follow his example. But remember, when you face a big need, we have a big God. And our God has promised to supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. He is our provider in all things, at all times, and in all ways. Thank you. Let's pray. Father God, you are so awesome. You are such a blessing to us. You supply all we need every second of every day. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your goodness. Thank you for placing us in your family, your body, the church, where we can minister, help, and encourage and build up one another. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for what you have done. We thank you for what you're going to do. Just ask you to bless each one of us. Help us to keep our eyes on you and to exalt you at all times and all ways. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.